Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Amen. Amen. Well, how many of you have ever had something that happened that went different, totally different than you expected? In a good or bad way? Both ways. How many have ever had something that turned bad but ended good? Yeah? You know, we can look at the funeral. We've been saying it all day, and we don't want to concentrate on that. But the reality is this moment turned differently for Betty. But I can guarantee you Betty's not upset. We're sad. But something turned different than we expected. When Kristen and I were looking for a house, we lived 5 years in the basement of my parents' home, which was a blessing to be able to get ready to be able to afford a house. And that was back when houses were affordable. I look now and I'm like, what a joke, you know, to worry about that price. But for us, it was real. And I remember looking at homes that we expected to be the home that we wanted. We wanted this Cape Cod style. We just had this idea in our head that this would be really cool. And so finally one day we got in touch with our realtor and he wanted to take us out. He's like, let's just go out so I can get to know you. And we found a Cape Cod that was for sale. And we're like, for sure, this is it. Like, we've been dreaming about this forever. So that was the first house. And then we had to pick two other ones. So we picked two. And the last one is a house that Krista liked. And I didn't like it. It was like, you think of it, the shingles were peeling back. It was only 10 years old, I think, or 12 years old, the house when we bought it, or something like that. Shingles were peeling back from the picture. And she's like, well, let's just go take a look at it. So we go through the Cape Cod thinking this is the house. And as we go through it, I'm like ready to fight to buy this house. And little by little, there was things were like, this is just not what we expected. And then we go to the last house where I didn't want to be. And I get up to it. I'm like, why are we here? Like, this is such a waste of time. And we go through it. I'm telling you, you name it, this house had the issues. Like, the floor at one point was designed, like they actually stitched the carpet in that house. It was a very nice carpet. Not that I'd want it. It was watermelon color, green and pink or something. But they actually had this stitched pink thing in it. But there was not a stain. There was not a spot on that carpet without a stain. They had multiple dogs. There was drug stuff going on. It became a very rundown house. But interesting, as I'm walking through it, the Lord begins to show me what can happen in each room. I remember going downstairs and there was this huge room and all of a sudden I'm like, we could have youth meetings in here. We could have prayer meetings in here with the young people. Like, we just had all these dreams. And in the end, sure enough, guess what house I bought? The one I didn't expect to buy. The watermelon house. There you go. I don't know about you, but walking with God seems to be a lot like that, doesn't it? Sometimes the way we think things should go or hope they're going to go or expect them to go often take a total turn. And so here we are in Holy Week. And we're going to do a little kind of backtracking here because this is, as you look at it, one of the most pivotal. There are more things that happen in this week that set the stage for the incredible resurrection of Jesus. But it's easy to forget and miss it. So we're not going to miss it, are we? All right, Exodus. Turn to Exodus. We're going to begin and find out where it all started. Turn to Exodus 12. Exodus 12 takes us back to when the Jews were in Egypt and they were in slavery for many, many, many years, like generations in slavery. I tried to imagine that. You know, we look right now at our situation in Canada or the U.S. or wherever, and we think, oh my gosh, this has gone on for 3 years, 8 years, 10 years. Can you imagine generations were in slavery? And I try to imagine finding joy in life, because right now we're blessed. We're a blessed nation. As bad as you think sometimes things get, you go into another nation, we are a blessed nation, right? How many agree? And we have to learn to go, thank you, Lord, for what we have. Do we want to change things? Absolutely, but thank you, Lord, for what we have. And I think about these people that were, their children were born and they would be raised in slavery and then they would have children and they would be raised in slavery and they would have had to continue to find joy in life in the hardship. And that's a lesson we all have to learn. But in this part of the story, this is actually where Passover, where the Jews celebrate Passover, because after Moses comes and the plagues, this is the very last plague, and he's going to come and he's going to give them freedom from slavery. So let's pick it up. Exodus, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself, now listen really carefully, shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. What I love about that already is community, joining together in community. So he's giving them instruction. This is how they are to be saved from the plague. And then he says, verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Jump down to verse 7. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh of that night roasted in fire. We'll stop there. Go to verse 13. We won't stop there. Verse 13. It says, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you are, and where I see the blood, I will pass over. That's where we get Passover. I will pass over you the plague that shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this beautiful story where basically God tells them, take a lamb without spot, blemish, no problems with it, and you're going to sacrifice that lamb. You're going to put the blood on the doorpost, and anybody that's inside the house covered with the blood is saved. Beautiful story. And so the plague comes, the angel of death comes and passes over any house. And house that does not have the blood, he enters in. And you think this is a crazy story. It truly is a crazy story. But he was about to free the Israelites. And this is the only way, because Pharaoh kept hardening his heart. So after this story, Pharaoh says, listen, just get out of here. You're a pain, get out. And choice words are coming to mind. I won't say it. You're pain. And so they get up and they go. Long story short, he says, from now on, you're going to celebrate Passover. This incredible moment. And the Jews to this day still celebrate Passover. What I want you to take note is this idea that they needed a lamb without anything wrong with it. Okay, we know if you've been in the church long enough, you know where I'm going, but there's some things that are so cool. So today, beginning of Passover, now turn to John. This is where our story is going to get going in the New Testament. We're going to start at, just going to briefly touch on a few things in John 11. So we have Passover that happens simultaneously on most years with Palm Sunday. You guys know it's Palm Sunday? I didn't. I forgot. My mom, hey, do you know it's Palm Sunday tomorrow? I'm like, oh, that's right. A lot going on this week. Okay, John chapter 11, we have a story here that if you've been in the church, again, this is a pretty well-known story, the death of Lazarus. This is a pivotal moment in the story of Jesus. Now, you guys have been watching The Chosen. Where do they pick up here? Where do they start the season? Okay, I thought so. So this season, you guys watch The Chosen. Just, I always like watching The Chosen. The new season is literally starting right here. We have this pivotal moment where Jesus' really good friend Lazarus dies. And there are things that are about to be set up that we could easily read a chapter and don't realize that this is all setting up for what we're about to walk through this week. Because Jesus, you know, the story is interesting in John 11 because they're like, you got to get here. You got to pray for Lazarus. And he's like, yes, we'll wait. You know, it doesn't make any sense. But Lazarus dies and he's dead for 4 days. That's a key moment because they believe the Spirit does not leave for 3 days and could not, it would be a bona fide miracle if they raised from the dead in 4 days. That's why he waited. 3 days, they're like, well, I don't know if that's a miracle. The Spirit's still there. Things can happen. But 4 days in Jewish culture, they felt like that was an absolute bona fide miracle. So he waits 4 days. Lazarus is dead. He comes and he calls Lazarus out. Remember the story? Lazarus come out. Lazarus is healed. What's interesting about this story is Passover, they feel, is about anywhere from 2 to 3 days to 2 weeks away. They don't know historically what the time frame was. But the news of Lazarus being raised from the dead spreads like crazy. It's the biggest moment in Jesus' life. And so people hear about it and they start flooding to the area. Because it's setting things up. Because we're going to wonder, I have a palm, we're going to do the whole thing. And we're going to wonder, why are so many people in this area right now? It's because, that he just did a miracle that they know a Messiah would do. This is a miracle that they would be looking for. Now, we've talked about this many times. I want you to get into your mind, the Messiah that they're looking for is going to do what? Free Israel from Rome. So the word is going out because the Israelites, the Jewish people, are being controlled and ruled by Romans. And they think after they hear this miracle happens, they think the Messiah is here to free us. This is the moment we've been waiting for. So jump over now. So we have the death of Lazarus. The word is going out. Go now to chapter 12 of John. And look at verse 11, John 12, verse 11. It says, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. What was the account that they believed? It was Lazarus being raised from the dead. And now we're going to pick it up. My Bible calls it the triumphal entry, verse 12. John 12, verse 12. So I just, again, want to set this up. This is Passover. In the culture of Passover, the high priest would go get a lamb. A lamb, what? Without spot, blemish, wrinkle, you name it. He would go and get the lamb. They would put it on their shoulders and they would walk the path into Jerusalem. You got to understand how important this is. They would walk the path into Jerusalem. And they would bring that lamb, and for the next 4 days, that lamb would be inspected and looked at to see if it truly had no spot or blemish. So pick it up in verse 12, chapter 12, the triumphal entry. It says, the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Do you get the idea? So they heard that Jesus was going to be there. They already know it's the Passover. This place was flooded with people. And then it says, they took branches of a palm tree and went out to meet him, and they cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. I'm going to read it again. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. I want to read that, actually, what it is. I have to look for it. Turn to Psalms. Hold your place there. I want you to read it. Psalms. I need to find it. If you know where it's at, help me out. Thank you. I just found it and you said it. Psalm 118. You have grace for me. I came off a long week. Right? Amen. Psalm 118. We say Hosanna because that's what's commonly known. Psalm 118, verse 25 says it this way. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, Send me now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Read it again. It says, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. That whole verse, save now, Lord, is actually the word Hosanna. So when they were yelling, Hosanna, 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 they were actually yelling, save us, O Lord, save us, O Lord, save us, O Lord. Now here's where I didn't know, and it gets really cool. Does anybody know why they do palm branches? Anybody have a clue? I had no clue. Interesting enough, Maccabees, the war before to take over the temple, this is before Jesus was born. When they went in to take over the temple because it had been occupied, they went in, the Maccabees took back the temple, and for some reason, I didn't get that far, a palm branch became the symbol of a political victory. Interesting enough, a political victory. You will even find it, I was gonna put it up there, I didn't have time, they have coins made out, so it became a symbol. We've had different symbols, right? There's symbols right now. You can think of symbols. Red hats are a symbol right now, correct? What is? The peace symbol, right? I didn't know. My daughter went to a church recently and they don't shake hands now since COVID, so they do the peace symbol. I'm like, that's really good. Peace, man, peace. We even hold hands here. We're wild. It became this symbol where when you knew you saw a palm branch, they believed that a political overthrow was about to happen. So interesting, we think they're just doing palm branches, but this was a symbol that they thought the Messiah is coming to overthrow the Romans. So it's really cool in the Chosen, they show you, and they're just handing these things out, and then one person, they're excited, Jesus is coming, and all of a sudden they yell out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, and they all start yelling, Hosanna. This is what it was like, a moment of beautiful chaos, like the Messiah is coming. And I love, I just watched a quick scene of it, and they do a beautiful job before he comes in, and let me read for you. There is another pivotal moment. You wonder why Jesus comes in on a donkey. That is in a place in the Bible. No. My notes are all over today, so I can't even find it. Somebody can find it for me quickly. It's Zechariah 9, I want to say. What is it? 9:9? See, I'm just testing you guys today. In my mind, my notes are really good today. They're not. Somebody read it out for me. 9:9, Zechariah 9:9.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. Lowly and riding on a donkey.
There you go. Riding on a donkey. Behold, your king is coming, riding on a donkey. Put the pieces together. The palm branches symbolize the Romans are about to be overturned. They know this scripture because this is an overthrow scripture about the king coming, riding on a donkey. The king who will what? Overthrow the Romans. So they do this beautiful job in The Chosen of him in this moment where he just knows this is it. This next week is the end of his life. And you can see, if there's a clip on YouTube, I watched it this morning, you can see this overwhelming weight of what he's about to do. And I can't, you know, it's not out, it's at the theaters, I think, right? So I can't see the whole thing, but what I do know is, they show a quick clip of him riding on the donkey and the people are going crazy. They are yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, they're shouting and he's smiling, but he knows the end story here. Remember I said, sometimes we think it's going to go a certain way. The Jews believe it's going a certain way. The king, the Messiah, has just come. He did the miracle that only the Messiah could do. He's now coming, and he is going to overthrow the Romans. The crazy thing is 1 week, not even 1 week, we're going from Sunday, it's really 4 days later, those same people that are cheering are yelling, crucify him, crucify him. So often, I think in our life, we think it's going to go a certain way. I thought it was going to go a certain way. We were all excited with Betty turning a corner. And sometimes we can get caught up in this direction that we don't expect things to go. You know, I could say that about so many things. And all I know is as we prepare for this, we have to realize we see with a very small window. Right? You know that 10,000 foot saying where you have to get to the higher level to see? Always have to remember that Jesus sees more than we do. And I just want to let you know that I don't believe Jesus is the author of sickness. But I do know that he turns all things for good. And what we don't realize is that without the moment that we're about to experience, so they thought he was coming as a king, but he actually comes as a lamb. They wanted the king, but they think, so follow that pattern. If he comes as a king, okay, so they overthrow the Roman government. Beautiful. How long does that last for? How many times does another government come in 20 years later and take over? It would be a temporary fix, but they need an eternal solution. So they're hoping for this moment. And they just didn't even realize. So many today don't even realize still that that moment was the greatest moment on earth because it gave us the opportunity to go to heaven. And that's the cool thing. You know, we keep going back to Betty because I think as a church we need to partly understand and grieve this together because we loved Betty. We thought it would go a different way. And yet at the same time, the best way happened in the sense that she's now in heaven because the king came as a lamb. You following me? So it's incredible to think that these are a symbol of this supposed victory that they're going to have, and they're laying it at the donkey, the feet of Jesus, and he comes through, and in the quick clip, you know, you can imagine he's smiling, but I would think it's all external, you know, because he's coming and he's smiling because there's that moment of rejoicing, but in his heart, he knows it's going to flip a switch really quickly. I don't know about you guys. Have you ever had moments where you're rejoicing, and the next minute you're so confused? You're borderline wanting to curse. Come on, right? That's real life. This week was like real life, ups and downs, and probably the last 4 weeks were like that. You're 1 minute, you're like, yes, and then you're like, what? What? Remember getting texts from Ryan. You were like, yes, Megan's making it. She's doing great. The next, what is going on? Oh, she's making it. It was like this roller coaster ride. And this is the challenge with our faith, because if we're not careful, I am guilty of it. We could get this narrow little window that we're looking through, and we got to trust. You know, that's what you're saying. God's like, are you going to trust me? But I got to provide for my family. Yes, you're right, but are you going to trust me? And that's sometimes so hard. It can be so hard. So let's just read a little more. I just want to pick it up again where they say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, he sat on it as it is written. Oh, it's right there. See? Somebody should have read a little further for me and just, thanks, Dave. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they would remember that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Holy Spirit comes as our helper and our teacher. Do you know that this is exactly what he meant? Because after Jesus died, the Holy Spirit came and began to open up all the things. That's why we have the scripture to go, oh, that's what he meant. Oh, that's what he meant. That's what he meant. I can only imagine what it must have been like for the disciples. There must have been lights going off. Like, do you remember when he said this? Oh, he meant that. We thought he meant this, but he actually meant that. That's the Holy Spirit. Just drawing some dots, crossing some lines for you. Verse 17, therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him because they had heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. This sets us up for such an incredible week. So what we realize as we look at Scripture, they are convinced, most theologians, majority are convinced that the very path that Jesus took was the very path that the high priest took with the lamb on his shoulders. So you got to imagine, they had the lamb without spot or wrinkle, and that high priest would walk through, and they know that this lamb is going to be sacrificed for them, for the sins of Israel. And then at some moment, at some point, probably in the same day, Jesus comes through. He could have been just right after, nobody knows, but Jesus comes through, and they're thinking king, but he's coming as a lamb. The same path, going the same way. Like, you can't make that stuff up. Like, he's going to become, what did John the Baptist say? Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of Israel? Nope, the sins of the world. So we stand today, no matter, you know, if you know Christ, you've received him as your Savior, like Betty did in a blink of an eye, like Marilyn did in a blink of an eye. They're here and then they're gone into heaven. They've received Jesus. They don't have to question whether they lived a good enough life. No, Jesus was the lamb that was slain for me so I could go to Jesus. Like, that is worth rejoicing, right? And see, can you imagine, like, the lamb comes before and everybody's so excited for the lamb and they think, oh, look at the king's coming too, that's going to take all our problems away. And so here's the thing. And we won't go into the whole story because that's next week. But when he goes into the temple and flips over tables and makes people mad, this is all setting the stage for what's about to come because he has to be crucified. And they missed the biggest story ever. The king wasn't the king. He was a lamb that became the king of the kings. And for us today, I don't want us to miss the greater story. The greater story is that without this story of Jesus walking triumphantly into Jerusalem, we would still be on the outside. Like, we have to always go back. God was the God of the Israelites until Jesus came. And then he became the God of the entire world because of Jesus' sacrifice. It's hard for us to understand this, but there had to be a pathway. From the beginning of time, there was a path of how Jesus would come back, or Jesus would come to become the Lamb. So if you're here today and you're like, man, my life is not quite the way I expected it to be. Well, first thing I'd say is possibly sometimes welcome to the club. This is life. We live in a fallen world, right? But the greater picture is that Jesus, the story is that Jesus came to give us life, to give us a hope that we anchor not into this world, and we hope an anchor of hope into the next world. So I celebrate with Betty. I celebrate with Marilyn. I celebrate with Nancy. You were funny yesterday, Michael. I love your humor. Because I found out this is God's humor. Where is Betty buried? Betty is buried next to Nancy. So I had heard about that. Yeah, I think there were just two spots, right, that happened to be next to Nancy. So they're neighbors. And, you know, at one point I heard about it. And so I said, hey, I hear Nancy's buried here. Where's she at? He goes, oh, right here. We were literally standing by Nancy. So God is, he's the funniest, most amazing God. We mourn the loss, right? But I wish Rob was here to share. He had a dream that somebody gave him, one of the relatives, and they were grieving. But literally the dream was that Betty's like, why are you crying? Do you not know where I am? And it just helped this person, whoever it was, go, oh, right, right. We're sad. She's not. So if you're going through something today, and those are beautiful words, there was actually another word even brought, just really about if you're going through a difficult time, the big story is that Jesus is here for you. It's not that we think that life is going to go a certain way, and if it doesn't, that God's not for us. God's opened a pathway for eternal life for us. That is the main thing. And maybe you thought he was going to come in as a king and overturn all the issues in your life and make you a millionaire and all those things. You're like, it didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out. That's not why he came. He came for eternal life. That is the main thing, because you could have all the money in the world and still be dead in your sin. Or you could be poor as can be and alive in Christ. Now, I'm thankful he doesn't want us to be in poverty. He wants us to have creative ideas. He wants us to flourish. I'm grateful for that. But the big picture is eternal life, not that he would overthrow every problem in our life. I wish, don't you? But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I'm telling you, you're missing the greatest story ever told. And the beautiful thing is, it's not like you have to go, I got to get my life, Jesus won't come into my house unless I get my life right. I'm sorry, that's actually the opposite. He comes into your house to get your life right. I was like the analogy, it's like trying to get our teeth perfect to go to the dentist. We go to the dentist to get our teeth made right. That's why I don't brush for weeks before I go. Just joking. Claude was my dentist for many years. We still brush. We still try to live a good life. But the reality is, that's why we go to the dentist. I'll just end with that. Why don't you stand? I like this story right now because of all that's happening in the world. And I think it's just always a good reminder. Last Sunday, I preached on it again. We always come back to, why did Jesus come? The salvation of the world for our souls, right? I think 100 years from now, somebody else will be preaching about, okay, people, let's keep focused on Jesus. You're like, isn't he going to come back soon? Yeah, that's what Paul thought, so who knows? But we just keep sharing the gospel. I'll tell you, it is a joyous thing when you can come together and celebrate as the brothers did. Man, the Chalk brothers, they're funny. Getting them into the same room is fun. But as much as sadness they had, they kept going, but she's in heaven. That anchor for their souls. And even Reg, pray for Reg, so hard. But he's like, I know where Betty is. Amen. Lord, I thank you that you are the greatest story. Lord, I can't even imagine what it would have been like to be there to see the king come through. And chances are I probably would have gotten mixed up with the king is coming to overthrow. We all want to have freedom. But Lord, the greatest story was you're going to bring freedom to our souls. You're going to give freedom. We were trapped in our sin, and you died to bring us freedom. You died to bring us redemption. You died to bring us hope. And so, Lord, today we celebrate that. We celebrate and thank you that you came as the Lamb and not just the King. So, Lord, we say thank you. We thank you that we could worship you freely today. We thank you that your presence came. We thank you that you walk with us. Lord, I pray if anybody's here that does not know you, I ask, Lord, that their hearts would be tender and they would receive you as Lord and Savior, and simply say, Lord, I receive what you did on that cross. I receive what you did on that cross. You took my sins on that cross so I can have life. And Lord, as we get ready for this coming week, as we come to celebrate all that you did, I pray our hearts would just be more and more attuned to you. Next Sunday or next Friday, and then Sunday as we come, I pray this house would erupt with the goodness of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.